Hello, everybody. It is Wednesday night, July the 15th. You are listening to WVEW LP 107.7 FM Brattleboro Community Radio. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
We're both in a very good mood.
We sure are.
We won't tell people why, though. It's inappropriate.
It is inappropriate.
But it's fun. Anyway, let's get right to politics. I figure for our first segment, let's go to the political floor.
Dun, dun, dun.
Things that happen that are gay happen on Wednesday. And today,
at least it seems that way, since that's when we check the news.
Well, we're pretty egocentric like that. So today's news was just great news all around. Hate crimes. The U.S. Senate will vote on legislation that would expand existing hate crimes laws to include protections for LGBT victims of bias crimes.
Woo!
I'm so happy you remembered that. That was such a good cue. Can I just do that at will?
Yes.
How are you today? I'm pointing at her, and she's clapping. It's very, very cool. That's a lot of power.
This is what happens when I listen to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me before I come in.
Nice.
We need the little ding. They have
we
a great
get
bell.
One of those.
We totally need one.
We should
one.
Get a bell.
Anyone has a bell that they want to donate, please mail it.
when a guest gets a question correct,
yeah,
which there's no way they could get it wrong, we should just ding the bell. So debate on the getting back to the hate crimes legislation. Debate on the Senate floor started today, 3 months after the House approved its version of the legislation. It is called the Matthew Shepard Act, named for, of course, Matthew Shepard, who is 21 and who was murdered years and years ago. So we're hoping that goes through. But if you have 5 minutes of your life that you're looking to waste and never get back, but give you some energy and fuel you for the rest of the day, you're going to want to check out a clip from the Family Research Council, which features...
Is this like angry energy?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Just to clarify...
This is angry energy.
So if you are in anger management classes, this might not be a clip for you.
No, not so much.
No.
Not if you're looking to relapse and have to start over. But the Family Research Council was able to get the help of representatives. These would be U.S. House of Representatives, Mike Pence, who's a Republican from Indiana, and, a senator, an actual senator, Jim DeMint from South Carolina. And you have to watch this video of them, because what they spew out there is just, it's complete lies. They essentially say that if the hate crimes legislation passes, then preachers will not be able to say anything anti-gay, which is, you know, a lie. So
this is one of those moments where my facial expression just cannot go over the airwaves.
Well, you have that moment of, oh, okay, it's just kind of another stupid video. Wait a second, that's a senator, and that's a representative, and that's a big deal. So there's that.
We're going to tell Vermont what you're doing. That's what we're going to do.
Vermont's coming after you, Indiana. That Vermont-Indiana little Sharks and the Jets war has been brewing for...
Yeah, they're snapping of fingers.
That's been an age-old conflict, yeah. I think. So also in the political arena, and this was a big story this week, was about former President William Jefferson Clinton, who expressed support the other day for gay marriage, which is a stance that he did not hold during his presidency. So he was speaking at the Campus Progress National Conference in D.C. Last week, actually, and he said he is basically in support of gay marriage. He said, quote, "I personally support people doing what they want to do. I think it's wrong for someone to stop someone else from doing that." And it says instead of that, he meant same-sex marriage. So the poll this week that was on one of the gay sites was, hey, Becca.
Yes.
What do you think of Bill Clinton's support for gay marriage? And here are your three choices. Number one, it's great. He's one of the highest profiles in the Democratic Party and could influence many politicians. Choice two is not sure. Sure, he's shown his support, but I don't know if people will listen to his opinion. Or choice three, it's too little too late. He no longer has a reputable influence on Washington, and it would have been better if he felt this way while he was in office.
There's no, like, he should tell his wife to speak out.
No, that was not.
Nobody's listening.
That was not. There was not an other, and then fill in the blank.
No. So, was there a, maybe I would care if he was coming out and saying don't ask, don't tell was really stupid?
Nope.
No,
it's too little, too late, it's great, or not
poorly thought through.
Yeah. That's all bad
precedent.
They're very quick with these polls. So what are you going with? Do you think it's a big deal that
It's a medium-sized deal.
It's a medium-sized deal. And so that I'm
It's like one of those like fast food mediums that's like ginormous. It's kind of like a bucket.
And then you feel bad afterwards for supporting it.
I went to one of those fast food places to get an iced coffee not that long ago, ordered a medium, and I swear my car tilted when they handed it to me. It was crazy.
So Bill Clinton's view on gay marriage kind of tilted your car.
Oh, just a little bit.
Okay, so I'm putting you in the category of not sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
And so 11% of people were not sure.
How incoherent.
33% of people said it's great, but the majority, the overwhelming majority at 56% said it's too little, too late. So I thought that was interesting. It would have been nicer. But those were different times then. I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about that only because...
Can we put you in not sure?
I actually did vote not sure. So one of those votes was for me. So let's play some music. Let's get our energy up. You ready?
Do we have... energizing music today? Is that what we're doing?
Totally. The theme of
today's
music.
Is it like workout music?
Some of it is actually from my workout mix.
Nice.
But it's all about the theme of dance. That is tonight's theme is dance. Here we go.
Just dance.
let us talk about some other news that's out there. There was a celebrity breakup this week, and normally we don't really do pop culture that much pop culture news. Like, we don't really care that two celebrities, gay celebrities, broke up, but I'm reporting it anyway. And our thank you, loyal listener Susan, for sending this over.
Thanks,
to us.
Thanks, Susan.
Linda the Penguin has split up
male
penguins who lived as a nesting couple for 6 years
at the San Francisco Zoo.
Harry and Pepper had been so content together, they were allowed to incubate and hatch an egg laid by another penguin.
They were just waiting for the right woman to come along.
And the zookeeper said, of all the penguins that year, they were the best. They took very good care of the chick. But then enter the widow, Linda, who began courting Harry in her partner's old burrow. Wow, she's a little bit of a trollop, isn't she?
Yeah.
His death this past winter. And the zookeeper said to be completely andropomorphizing. I should get credits for saying that. Linda has a plan. She's very conniving. I don't think she wanted to be a single girl for too long. Though Harry and Linda have been nesting in recent months, molting season in late summer tends to reshuffle couples. And so we're all keeping an eye out, says the zookeeper. It'll be interesting to see if Harry spends any of that time with Pepper. We're going to have to wait and see. So
Pepper.
I know. Oh, Pepper.
You can be on the show anytime.
We're going to have Pepper on the show to talk about that trollop, Linda.
Yes.
I was so focused on Linda and all her machinations that...
You didn't even think about Pepper.
I wasn't really
thinking about Pepper. Because you have no heart, Ken. My favorite dance song. It's just so...
It had the word dance in the title.
Optimistic.
That's what I was going for, and I feel it's the perfect way to cue up our guest. Guest, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
Welcome.
We're going to introduce you then. Everybody, Tyler Engel began his dance training at the age of 9 with Deborah Anthony at the Allegheny Ballet Company. He entered the School of American Ballet, the official school of the New York City Ballet, full-time in the fall of 2001. In the fall of 2003, he became an apprentice with the New York City Ballet. And in 2004, he became a member of the Corps, and he was promoted to the rank of soloist in December of 2007. He's had featured roles in so many different ballets, Symphony in C, Vienna Waltzes, A Simple Symphony, Romeo and Juliet, of course, Swan Lake, and tons more, but those were the ones I was pretty sure I wasn't going to mangle the pronunciation. Tyler Engel, welcome to This Show Is So Gay with Ken and Becca. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
How's everything going?
It's going very well, actually. I had a lovely day today.
What'd you do today?
I had the entire day off, which was magnificent. I woke up late, had breakfast with my family. Actually, we're up in Saratoga Springs right now for a summer season that the New York City Ballet always does in upstate New York.
Oh, fantastic. And the weather is good?
The weather was marvelous. I spent the whole day at the pool.
Oh, nice.
Magnificent.
So in full disclosure, I did a very brief stint at the School of American Ballet when Tyler Engel was a student there. Very smart 16-year-old, Becca. He's no longer 16.
Did he get into all sorts of trouble and give you a run for your money?
No, I think that's why Ken's saying that I was smart. I actually didn't get into a lot of trouble.
He did not get into a lot of trouble. Yeah, he was a little smarter than that. All right, but we have so much to talk with you about. Now, a few months back, it was quite the article about Tyler Engel in the New York Times. How about that article, Tyler?
How about that article? I was actually very surprised about that article.
Really?
Yeah, I was. I mean, Claudia had emailed me and said that something to the effect that one of her editors, you know, it was her turn as one of the staff writers to do one of the articles for the Sunday paper. But when she explained it to me, for some reason in my head, I was just thinking it was going to be one of those Sunday blurbs.
Right.
And so I went down to my deli on the corner on Sunday morning, and I bought my coffee, and then I, you know, got the Times, and then as I was paying for everything, I was kind of leafing through, and then I got to the page, and it was this huge article. There's this big picture, and I dropped my coffee and kind of was very embarrassed because there were people standing around in line, and, you know, what could be more obnoxious than going to the deli and finding an article about yourself and opening it up right there? I was not under the impression that it was going to be an actual article, so I was kind of embarrassed, but very flattered at the same time.
And then did you call home to Mom and Dad?
Yes, I think I'd mentioned to them, I wasn't sure what Sunday was going to be in the paper, but then yes, I definitely let them know, and I think they actually saw it the evening before online.
Gotcha. Well, very cool article. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that article. One of the passages that I was particularly intrigued by, and I'm going to quote from it directly, the author writes, "This confidence served him well as a developing dancer. The physical maneuvers were not the only difficulty he faced. There were the homophobic taunts that many boys who are serious about ballet endure, on which Engel, who is gay, looks back with equanimity." And the quote from you, our guest, Tyler, quote, "Any stigma that we felt when we were little, mostly I think it's more of a gay thing than it is a ballet thing. People thinking you're gay just because you dance, and then when you're older, you actually are gay, it's different." I thought that was just a fantastic quote and really well said.
Well, this is not well known, but there is a stigma in ballet, too. I mean, I didn't know that until you were talking about working for the ballet company and all that good stuff.
Talk a little bit more about that stigma, Tyler, and what you've experienced.
Well, I think just when we had talked, Claudia and I talked at length when she was writing the article. She couldn't put it all in the piece, but we talked at length with, you know, about what it is or how it is to grow up when you're doing something that has such a stigma anyway, such a cultural thing.
Because, right.
You know, America doesn't really have a cultural identity as far as the larger classical arts. I mean, there have always been companies here, but it's not kind of rooted. It's nothing that this society created. It was always brought over from somewhere else. So I think in that way, you know, in general terms, the larger things like the opera or the Philharmonic have never been so comfortably taken in as they were in Europe, because those things were, you know, the ideas of those things were founded over there.
Absolutely.
And I think in the same, so, you know, there's that on the kind of a macro scale. And then on a micro scale, it's finding your identity through something like that. You know, it feels like it's a safe place that you can go. It's not necessarily that you go to these things. It's not like I gravitated towards ballet because I was gay.
Right.
But I just found that it was a world that was much more open and much more willing to accept, regardless whether you were straight or gay. It was a world, you know, much more willing to accept your work despite all of those things. I think that's why, and that's the kind of point that I was trying to make, is that it wasn't so much that people were making fun of you for doing ballet. They were uncomfortable with you doing ballet because they thought that meant that you were gay, and that was the only reason that you would want to pursue this, which is wrong on so many different levels.
Well, I was doing all this different research. I was reading up on just different ballet stories, and
it was amazing how many posts there are on different websites from parents who are putting out there on these web boards looking for advice, saying that their son really enjoys ballet, but he's getting mercilessly taunted by his peers in school with the assumption that he's gay, and so now he wants to quit, but he really loves it, and he just can't. The taunts are too much for him, and it was heartbreaking.
But there are parents who won't let their sons do ballet,
sure.
even if they really enjoy it, or any other kind of dance either, because it's...
No, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the fantastic things about my parents. It was actually my father's idea. My immediate older brother is also a ballet dancer. He also dances with me in the New York City Ballet. And it was actually my father's idea when he was younger. We would all be dancing around the house, and Jared especially. And so my dad said to my mother, she was like, well, Barb, he should be in ballet classes because that's proper dancing. That's what you do with someone who enjoys to dance, because, that was his point of reference. I don't know how. He is, a general contractor. He builds, big industrial buildings.
Right.
But he grew up on a farm. You know what I mean? It's I'm not implying that there's anything with growing up on a farm.
No, no.
But it's not what someone might envision.
Yeah, exactly. It's not what you would suspect someone saying. But he, they were always very willing to let us do whatever it is that we thought we wanted to, without any expectations. And they were also wonderful then, when the taunts would come, because, essentially what it came down to is, there wasn't so much personal coaching that I can remember from my parents beyond that, you need to find yourself, and you go through things, and you'll have to deal with people of all different kinds.
Mm-hmm.
But, there was just always an assumption on their part that, it will... you will be able to find who you are, despite all of these things. And if you enjoy what you're doing and if you feel that it is worthwhile, then it doesn't matter what anybody else is saying.
Right.
I mean, it was like the kind of the paradigm of that argument. I mean, they really were able to do it well. I mean, it's kind of an amazing thing to look back on.
I have to say, we have our listeners instant message us throughout the show, and we have one of our listeners out in Connecticut right now writing, I want his parents. So... if there's some sort of program by which we can rent out your parents to some of our listeners, just as a side business, just consider that.
All right, Ken just can't say that listener is him.
No, that really wasn't me. I'm here in Vermont. Although I will say, I was telling, I have a friend of mine who calls me every Wednesday and says, oh, who's your guest tonight? I said, oh, it's Tyler Engel. And she said, Tyler Engel from New York City Ballet? I said, yes. And this was the shout out to your brother. She said, Tyler and his brother are like the Venus and Serena of the ballet world. So I don't know if you've ever gotten that before, but I figured I've
never gotten that, but I think Jared will get a kick out of that. I'll tell him as soon as
And then you guys can fight over who's Venus and who's Serena.
I figured you would like that. So what would you say then? So that was the advice for the parents. We give you time with the 11-year-old who's getting taunted. What do you say to that 11-year-old who has that passion for ballet, but is, peer pressure and that age and getting ridiculed and being associated in any way with the word gay, of course, is apparently the most damaging thing that could ever happen to an 11-year-old.
It is terrible.
Sad as that may be. What would you say to that 11-year-old?
What would I say to that 11-year-old? This is, again, just only coming from my experience with things. And my experience with any kind of difficulty or any kind of obstacle that I faced was, you need to meet it in a very straightforward fashion. I would probably say to them that the taunts and the travails, I might not use that word with an 11-year-old, depending. but those things never go away, and it doesn't really matter what you're doing, and they're different for everybody, but everybody is always dealing with them. It's kind of to be very Buddhist, it's kind of what, ties everybody together, is the kind of long-suffering nature of life. But
right.
If it's worth it, if you love it that much, and if it's worth it, and if it feeds you in that deep way that you either know yes or no whether it gives you the things like that, then you have to do it. Then there's no other, then there's no question about it. And I think that if whomever I was speaking to felt it like that, then they would realize. I think sometimes, and for me also, I mean, it was great whenever I had a mentor say that, just knowing that there was someone else who, they did it, you know what I mean? They whatever taunts or whatever anything else happened, I mean, they still did it, and they came out on the other side, and they are being fulfilled despite everything else that they went through. That helped me tremendously. But, I mean, there's nothing that you can say to someone to lessen what everyone else says. You just have to lessen how it affects them.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, and to complicate this even further, just to push this on the next level, so you have the association that unfortunately many folks do that, oh, well, if you're a dancer, a male dancer, you're gay. And then I was reading a lot of all these different articles of dancers that have struggled because those who do identify with gay, there's this assumption out there that you can't then, so you've committed to dance, but there's an assumption that you can't be both masculine and gay, which is a load of crap.
I fully agree with you, Ken, that that's a load of crap. And just as an example, earlier today, I went out and, like, split firewood and carried it back to the house for our fire pit tonight.
Nice.
You know what I mean? And, also, I think I'm the only member of the company who knows how to adequately make a fire. So that may be an over-exaggeration. But, you know, I'm gay.
But I'm sure if we taught anyone there, they would do it with amazing grace.
Yes, they would.
Grace. Absolutely. No, but I think that's it, I think that's a misconception. And to be perfectly honest, this is kind of going on a tangent, but after I came out, I felt very uncomfortable with a lot of gay culture.
Just right.
Like the larger gay culture, because what I was seeing and what I was reading and who I was going out with, it was telling me that I couldn't be who I was. And I was thinking to myself, well, I just did this.
Right.
I just did this whole couldn't be who I was, and now I thought that I would come out of the closet and I can be who I was, and then they were saying, well, why, you know, I'm not the most overly butch person in the world, but I am not also, you know, the most flamboyant person in the world, and for some reason that also wasn't okay in a weird way.
Right.
So I think that's also ridiculous. You can absolutely be masculine and be gay on the stage. I mean, I think it's kind of marvelous to really encompass that masculinity on the stage. I mean, the contrast that you get between the female and the male and the personas, I mean, whether or not it's a romantic role or whether it's, you know, an abstracted role, I mean, there are clear differences, and that's the beauty of it.
Now, I should say, we did just get an angry email from Lauren King saying she does know how to start a fire and she would like you to issue a retraction.
Lauren King, I'm very
sorry.
Okay,
it didn't happen, but in my happy place, she just did that, and she'll like the shout-out. Now, a few years ago, I saw the
Ken just is stirring up trouble.
Just, yeah, yes.
I know, but that's kind of what I do.
I know my audience right now with this guest.
You're pushing it. I mean, he's not going to like...
Lauren King's a dear friend of mine. No, we went to school together.
Oh, okay. She's brilliant. So, yeah, no, I'll stir up friction, even from Vermont. I saw the all-male Swan Lake on... I called my sister because I saw it with her, and I called her just before the show and said, where did we see that? And she thought it was Lincoln Center. I actually don't think it was in Lincoln Center. I thought it was much more of a Broadway production, but I was really struck by that as an entry point to appreciating ballet. There were a lot of articles out there by gay columnists saying, oh, you know, I didn't have this great appreciation for ballet, but then I kind of saw it in a different way, that they were able to embrace the grace and the masculinity and the fluidity with two men playing love interests with each other. I don't know if you were able to catch that Swan Lake.
I never saw it live, but I did see video of it. And actually, I think when I was younger, the Matthew Bourne Swan Lake, that's what you're speaking about. I think it was broadcast on PBS when I was a child, and I remember seeing that in my parents' house. I don't know whether it's aesthetically or not. I mean, all besides, men can dance together, and I've seen it be absolutely magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not like that production.
There you go.
And I think it might have just been an aesthetic thing, but something about it really, really rubbed me the wrong way. It's been so long that I couldn't really tell you what it was, but I didn't...
Let's keep in mind that Tyler Engel has much more of a dancer's eye than I do. I was just so... floored, that it was two men. I couldn't see anything else. Yeah.
You know what? There's actually, if I can make a suggestion,
go for it.
Two men doing a pas de deux that I think is really the epitome of two people, like, you know, not even gender specific, two people dancing together and having that kind of communion. There's a Swedish choreographer named Pontus Lieberg, or Lindbergh. I think it's Liburg, though.
Okay.
And he recently, a movie of his came out, a feature film called The Rain. And in it, there is a male potada that is one of the most spectacular things that I've ever seen in my whole life. It took my breath away when I saw it. I fully couldn't speak for 20 minutes afterwards. It was so incredible.
We have to check that out now.
Definitely.
You really, really should. And it was just something so special for me. So I can relate with your reaction to the Swan Lake, because this was the first time that I ever remembered seeing a male potada that I was thinking that this was incredible, you know, because
yeah.
I feel like a lot of times the problem when people put two men together is that that becomes like a shtick.
Right.
And that's the whole thing. When two people dance together, there should be no shtick. You know, the shtick is that they're dancing together. It's not that it's two men.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a point. It should be what's happening between the two.
Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about, we had the comedian and TV personality Ant on the show about a month ago, and one of his gigs is that he hosts Celebrity Fit Club. And he talked a lot about the intersection between being a gay male and the obsession in gay male culture with body image. And you're kind of in a really funny place in that intersection, because you're
Absolutely.
Also in a career where body image and that aesthetic is really important. And I will say, this is me coming completely clean, and I have never said this on the show, but I'm saying it tonight. It was really difficult for me as a gay male to work at the School of American Ballet for many reasons, but one of them was because of body image, to just be around an aesthetic that I knew a lot of people were yearning for, and for me and my level of activity, you know, I was doing a much different level of activity than all the dancers, but it was really complicated for me to be a gay male in that culture and never really had body image issues, thought about that beforehand, but I gave a lot of thought about it when I was working in that environment, and heck, I wasn't even a dancer. So I was curious if that's that kind of, you have the normal thing of body image as a ballet dancer, and then body image in particular as a Balanchine ballet dancer, or in that vein, then complicating it with being a gay male, is there any stress there in that intersection?
No.
Good.
For me, there is not, and I'm not saying that just because, you know, for whatever the reason, most of the year I have to be in, you know, peak shape. And
right.
It's not because, you know, I'm working a full-time job and going to the gym 7 days a week. It's like I go to work and that is also the gym.
Right.
So in that way, you know, as far as this, you know, maybe gay aesthetic that you were talking about, you know, that maybe fits the bill. But, like, the one thing that we do, that I worry on and focus about, which is kind of the opposite, you know, is that my body breaks down much faster than everybody else's. You know, I will be at a concert with someone, and then after, like, maybe 40 minutes, my back is in excruciating pain,
wow.
and I have to leave. And everybody's like, well, what's wrong? It's like, my back hurts. And they're like, well, you look like you're in wonderful shape. And I'm like, I am, but everything also is just, you know, if it's the end of the season, it's at the cusp. It's at the breaking point.
Right.
Right.
So that is a hard thing for me. It's like, I feel like all of my other friends who are not dancers, and they're just young, and they get to go to the gym, and they have fun. They get to go exercise, and it's like this fun, wholesome thing. And I envy that a lot, because they also get to go play like they have these wonderful in-shape bodies, which I can't do.
Right.
So yeah, there definitely is that for me. But it's not so much of like a stigma about the image of it. You know, it's like the physicality of it. I wish that I could go to the gym and have that be like a fun thing as well, or that working out was always a fun thing and not just kind of
work.
Like, I hurt so much that
right.
my bones feel like they're made of glass, you know, which is not always like that. Like right now I'm absolutely fine, but you know, you occasionally get there, and it kind of really takes a toll mentally and physically.
I have to tell you, Becca, this guest of ours tonight sparred with me a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Oh, he knew his books. He knew his books. He sparred with me. He knew his academics. So,
but you know what? That was fun. And I
were you just spouting off at the mouth, Ken?
We both were. That's why it was fun.
It was fun.
Oh.
And neither one of us wanted to leave until we won. So there were.
Oh goodness gracious! So this is gonna be a long show, is what you're telling
no,
me.
No, we gotta let him go. He's got dancing to do. So where should people go now to see you? What's going on there in Saratoga?
territory. Actually, I mean, they'd have to get here quickly because tomorrow is my last day of the season. I'm doing The Four Temperaments by George Balanchine and a new ballet called Quasi Una Fantasia by Benjamin Millepied.
Oh.
And but that's this tomorrow, Thursday, is my last show of the season.
And then you have a break until when?
The company has a break until October, and then we're doing a week-long tour in Tokyo, which
I'm thoroughly
looking forward to. I love Tokyo. It's one of the most amazing places.
Yeah.
But in the interim, we have a break, but I'm doing several gigs. I'm fortunate enough, I'm going out to Colorado to dance with Christopher Wheeldon in Vail International Dance Festival, which is super fun always. And then I'm actually going to Spain with a few friends of mine and doing a gig in Mallorca, which is a little more.
You're just living the dream.
Is work, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get to New Hampshire next week. I don't really have a comparable story, but you know, I was trying there for a second. All right, so Tyler gets off pretty easy tonight, Becca, because I chose his music for him. See, normally, Tyler, we ask our guests to psychoanalyze themselves based on the musical selections that they provide for our listening audience.
Well, we could have him psychoanalyze you based on the songs you provide.
No, let's not do that because we're not doing that because he'll do it, Becca, and he'll probably be right, and then I'll be upset again, as I was.
Okay, don't
years
traumatize.
And years
so Ken.
we're gonna put you on the spot just for one song. So if you had to choose one song of the moment that really describes what you're all about, what are you choosing?
Oh my God! Right now,
I'm telling you, this is hard. One song of the moment.
One.
I feel like there's a song in your head right now that's shouting out to you, and it's got to be one that I've heard of.
You know what? It's probably not one that you've heard of.
I knew it.
It's one that you've heard of. I've been super opera crazy right now.
Okay.
Is this killing you? Because I just booked a vacation. I'm going to Salzburg for the festival.
Oh wow!
Oh my gosh!
I'm a huge opera dork. It's like my one big splurge of the year. But the one thing is from The Marriage of Figaro. It's called Riconosci Antiquesto. And that's actually the song. When they're singing about marriage and asking, maybe that's what's on my mind.
Well, look, wow!
No, but yeah, it's this beautiful, and there are several singers, and it's wonderful. But anyway, that's the song, actually, that's been... I've been listening to all day.
Oh my. All right. You know what? We're not even going to bother psychoanalyzing that one. I think it speaks for itself on that one.
He heard Pepper was free and
that's all it was. All right. Well, folks, if you are listening to this right now, you need to run over there to that lovely place in New York where New York City Ballet is doing their, do we call it a summer season?
Yes, summer season,
because you only have one day left to get in there and go see Tyler.
Hurry,
and,
to Saratoga.
And if you see Lauren King, ask her to start a fire, because I think she can do it.
I think she can do it, too.
Yeah, okay, so let's put that out there. She'll enjoy that. Tyler Engel, it is an absolute treat to have you on the show, to see you, it sounds so silly, but to see you blossom into just this
Aww.
Fantastic dancer, and I had no doubt how you would be on this show, because if folks think, oh my gosh, he's so learned, this is how he was at 16, folks. So I'm sure he's read a lot more books since then, but he has been able to hold a conversation pretty intellectually since then. So I'm in no way surprised, but I have to say I take absolutely no credit for it, but I am quite proud of who you've become. It's just fantastic to read about you.
Thank you so much. Oh, it was so, I really appreciate it. This has been such a special experience.
Thank you, Tyler. All right, so folks, get out there and see Tyler. Tyler, all the best. Thanks so much for being on the show, and we hope to talk with you soon.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks, Tyler.
Bye.
Bye. All I want to do is stay right here on the floor. Get lost in the night and dance like there's no tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Paula Abdul dancing like there's no tomorrow.
And this is a new song by her.
Yes, she just released it in the past like year.
Isn't that amazing?
She's still releasing songs. And that's our shout out to tonight's fantastic guest, Tyler Engel. Fantastic.
I'm just pretending I knew Paula Abdul had a new CD.
Oh, I wouldn't. I don't think many people know. Randy Jackson from American Idol.
But you do. It's on your workout mix.
It is on my workout mix, and I must say it gets me through a nice solid 3 minutes of that.
Ken is so hip and with it. I just can't keep up.
Yes, Marlboro students, please recognize that I am hip and with it.
Hip and with it.
So this is kind of funny. I'm going to do a little bit of an about face for our last story of the night. Because, you know,
Is it going to be a bummer?
It's not a bummer. Okay. It's not a bummer. Although, I'd want to say one other thing. There's a great op-ed right now on advocate.com. One of the opinion writers on there. If you are not a subscriber to The Advocate and Out, then one thing that you don't know, and you just read them online, if you are not an actual subscriber to the magazine, then one of the things you don't know is that it comes every month in a white plastic bag like it's porn. And it has always been the bane of my existence.
Because it's like better to get porn than it is to get The Advocate.
Right. Well, you feel so dirty and you're like, oh no, I swear it's just a gay rights magazine and it's not, you know. So, but the op-ed, he writes how he's always lobbying. I don't know the name of the writer, but how he's always lobbying to get the magazine out of the white plastic bag. But then this month he was really thankful that it was in the white plastic bag because Perez Hilton was on the cover and he didn't want to see anyone with that in his mailbox. So I thought that was really funny. So one of the things that I do all the time is I look at different comments. I look for the gay stories. And so on AOL, you know, because we have, if you want to shoot us out an email, we have the show is so gay at AOL.com. So I'm frequently on AOL, one might say daily, checking our email account and responding to each and every email that we get. If you send us an email, we respond within like 48 hours.
Absolutely. Though we had just had a listener, this Justin, stop the presses or whatever we do. It doesn't apparently come in white wrapping in Connecticut.
Really?
Yeah. So now we need to do a little research.
We're going
to
do a little research.
Find out if this is like a statewide thing.
Well, isn't that interesting?
Scandalous.
So when you sign on to AOL, you get all these different news stories, and there's screens and screens of news stories. And every now and then I see the word gay, and of course I click on the story because I'm thinking, oh, we're going to talk about whatever it is. So this was the story, and often it's about gay marriage, or it's about Chaz Bono. It's, you know, about all these different things. And so,
About penguins.
And so this article, the title of the article was Lesbian Teams Named Best Couple. So I'm thinking, oh gosh, this has got to be a big pop culture story because it's on the homepage of AOL. And so this was the story. We're giving some major props to the Ellen and Portia of the Bronx, Vicky Cruz and Dione Scott. The happy couple just graduated from Mott Haven Village Preparatory High School in the South Bronx with the honor of best couple bestowed upon them by their classmates. And that was the entire article. This, first of all, this is not news. Second of all, I would like to publicly decry the AOL Time Warner Company because there were... Oh, you just put your
hand. Oh my gosh.
We could take them on.
Which is a great moment for us to do our little...
We can take them. I think our show
the opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of WVEW, its sponsors, or me, or this show is so gay.
Then I take responsibility for just these. This opinion is just representative of me and Becca.
Ken Schneck. Should we spell out the address for them?
And Becca. So, because this was not an actual story, and I honestly think this story was only there on the homepage to get people to click on it and to get comments. So there were about 1,000 comments on the story. And of course, they were the most horrible comments that you could ever read of just, oh, these women are going to hell. And oh, they shouldn't be normalizing homosexuality. And those were, of course, the ones that I can repeat on the air. There were terrible, terrible comments in the thousands. And this was not a news story. This was a blatant attempt to just get people to click on it. Now you get to see all the advertising. And it felt really contrived to me. And so I'm calling out AOL and Time Warner because I think this really was a blatant attempt just to get people riled up and to breed comments. So I'm going to...
And lucky process server, we actually work in the same location. So you don't have to make 2 stops to bring that paperwork around. Let us know
you
about that.
You don't feel like our show is at the point where we can take on AOL Time Warner? We're giants.
Ken, you could.
Okay.
I don't doubt that you could. You,
with the guests that we have.
You have so much energy.
I think that we could take them on. So you should, if you have an opinion about this, you should drop us an email at AOL. They're going to take our email address away now. So it's right now at AOL. I have a feeling pretty soon it's going to be at Gmail. But for right now, it's thisshowissogay@AOL.com. Stroll on over to our website.
Take our identities away. Don't get on an airplane.
They can do that. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com. And check out everything going on there. We just hit a nice little minefield, treasure trove, not a minefield, a treasure trove of just amazing guests coming up in the next few weeks, including a very special guest next week who actually bid on us and won us. Like, she paid money in an auction.
We were auctioned off.
Not only were we auctioned, but someone actually bought us. So she bought her way onto
the show.
It's fantastic. She bought her way onto the show, and she is now our guest next week. So we will be thrilled to welcome her.
It's so sad because she waited so long to be on the show. Yes. To be the show after we get canceled is just terrible.
So right now it's thisshowissogay@AOL.com, but pretty soon it's going to be thisshowissogay at the cemetery on the left, because that's pretty much where we're going after they're done.
I'm pretty sure that's what rural Vermont is for.
Where they can't
hear
you scream.
People who called out mega corporations.
We could take them
on the air.
Folks, that's about it for us. Before we get into more trouble, if you're out there in the world, you're taking on mega corporations, and you're feeling like, oh gosh, I can fight the fight. Remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?